Praise the Lord. I'm excited to share with you today, and I'm always amazed, and I don't know why, but I am, and I guess it's because God is so amazing, isn't it? That the more we keep following God, the more amazing He is. It's not like you get to the certain level where God, you've found how amazing God is. Because the more you pursue Him, the more amazing He is. And I remember as a young Christian hoping that to get to a certain point, you know, a certain amount of revelation or a certain maturity or whatever. And then you get there and you realize that you've just begun. And so every time we set these goals of getting somewhere, and by God's grace and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we attain the goals, and yet there's more. And I think that is a picture of eternity, isn't it? And I remember thinking about, you know, what is heaven like? And I've heard people say, have you ever heard people say, it's going to be boring. What are you going to do? Sit around on a cloud and play a harp all day? What is there possibly to do? And yet I believe that our experience in heaven, we are just getting a taste of that, just a glimpse of that. In our limited imagination, we are blown away at heaven. And yet I believe that it will be our experience in heaven that we'll continue to be in awe. Every corner, you'll take a new turn. How many people like to canoe? If you have ever canoed, how about walking, hiking? You go somewhere and you look ahead, and there's like a little corner that you just can't wait to get around that corner and see what's there. I believe that's a taste of heaven. I think that thing that gets excited when you're in a canoe and going around in a pond and there's this little cove and you get around the corner and you see the cove open up and there's cliffs coming up out of the water and loons, it just makes you excited. I think that that's in there because that's what heaven's going to be like. I think that we're going to continue to go around every corner and be in awe, just like the first day that we got there. Hallelujah. Well, the reason I brought all that up is because I've been looking back over the messages, and we talked about God's lawn and God's garden and God as a gardener, and the Lord gave me a very clear message when I left Mike and Judy's last night after Bible study. I said, bring a testimony tomorrow. Anybody hear me say that on the way out? Bring a testimony. And right when I got to the door and put my hand on the latch to leave, God spoke into me. The theme of the message was about pollination. And I didn't think anything of it. Got home, and then this morning I woke up, and the message was just downloading, and I've heard people say uploading, whether it's coming from the Holy Spirit within, you're being uploaded this revelation, or if it's directly from the Father in heaven, downloading it, doesn't matter. Where it's coming from to me, as long as it's coming from God, hallelujah, up or down, God is still doing it. And then it clicked to me. How can you have a nice garden without pollination? How can you have a nice lawn without pollination? And it just came to me after I did this whole study on pollination and how exciting it is to me. Up to this point, we've talked about being that one blade of grass. Be that blade of grass, right? And then how that blade of grass is supposed to reproduce and fill in all the bare spots, not leaving any room for the adversary's seeds to come in and take root. We need to be so closely knit together that there's no area for seeds between us. We need to be healthy. We need to be, because the more healthy we are, the more disease resistant we are. Hallelujah. So it's a nice picture and it's all leading in this direction. But this is a key ingredient. So look to the bee is today's title. Look to the bee. Not the bee as in existing, but the bee as in the insect. Hallelujah. Look to the bee, okay? So bees are carriers. And carry in the dictionary is a verb. Well, I'm looking at the verb. And number one is to support and move from one place to another. To support and move someone or something from one place to another. Another part of the definition is transport, conduct, or transmit. And then another part of the definition is have on one's person and take with one wherever one goes. To carry. Bees are carriers. Just remember the bee. Look to the bee. We're looking at the bee, and bees are carriers. They don't just fly around aimlessly, and they're not just staying in the hive. They're going out, and they're doing something. And we're about to look at a picture of what bees carry. And so here's a picture. See the pollen basket on the hind legs of the bees? Is it clear enough to see? Pollen basket. So bees are specially equipped to carry pollen. And they're carrying a precious cargo. So just allow the Holy Spirit to just bring all these things into your imagination, into your mind, and how He's going to translate it over into our everyday life. So bees are equipped to carry, to bring from one place to another, to carry, to have it on in your possession and bring it from one place to another. Why are bees important? Let me just read this quote to you off of Google. It has often been said that bees are responsible for one out of every three bites of food that we eat. All right, so I want us to begin to realize that bees, we're looking to the bee, why? So that God can reveal to us out of nature a principle, that we can learn something about the kingdom of heaven, about God, about our role in the kingdom. So what we're looking at is bees are equipped to carry, they're carrying something, that is precious. They're carrying the pollen, and bees are important. We just don't take for granted the bee. And so if the bee is important, how much more are you and I important? Because what I'm trying to communicate, what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church today, this is the year of doing. It's not the year, again, of more learning, but it's the year of doing. There's an application side of everything that we're learning. And so what God is really instilling in us, remember we talked about availability and being a lighthouse, there's a work, there's a service, there's something that we need to provide to this world as individual Christians. Remember I talked about the atrocities on the earth are so overwhelming that at times we won't do anything. So what God, I believe, is trying to do is spur us into action. And He's using a pastor with boots, with new boots, amen, to spur the word to me, and I'll share it with everyone, is to give people a kick in the butt with my Holy Ghost boots. And so to inspire, to get people off the couch into action. And that the number one motivation for that is when we have revelation of how important we are. I could have stayed in bed this morning. Rarely are there times when I'm so tired that I just want to stay in bed. But I believe that I am carrying something of great value today and that it's important. It's important that I get up. It's important that I bring something to carry to this place to share. I'm of value. You are of value. If you stay in bed all day, it would not have been the same here today. God has a plan for this day, and you have a significant part in this day. If the bees all stayed home, we'd be missing out on one of every three bites of food. It's important. The role of a bee is important, and that translates to the role that you and I play on this earth is important. It's vitally important. Most crops grown for their fruits, including vegetables such as squash, cucumbers, tomatoes, eggplant, nuts, seeds, fiber such as cotton, and hay, alfalfa grown to feed livestock, require pollination by insects. Pollinating insects also play a critical role in maintaining natural plant communities and ensuring production of seeds in most flowering plants. Pollination is the transfer of pollen from the male part of the flower to the female part of the flower of the same species, which result in fertilization of the plant ovaries and the production of seeds. The main insect pollinators are by far bees. While European honeybees are the best known and widely managed pollinators, there are also hundreds of other species of bees, mostly solitary ground nesting species, that contribute some level of pollination services to crops and are very important in the natural plant community, natural plant communities. Anybody find that interesting? There's some pretty cool stuff in this teaching. Teaching. All right. I love it that when we read there that the bees, what the bees were doing, and that the scriptures came to mind out of John and Genesis, things reproduce according to their kind. Genesis 1:11 says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Vitally important that we realize things reproduce according to their kind. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Amen? Can you see okay? You want me to turn the back light off, or everybody good? Okay. This is a super, super important message. We've been talking about the inner person and the outer person. And when we realize God designed it that things reproduce after their kind. So if I sow to the flesh, after the flesh it will reproduce of its kind. Amen? It's God's design. Why are bees good pollinators? Bees make excellent pollinators because most of their life is spent collecting pollen. They're doing something. Bees are out there working. They're not on the couch. They're not sitting in church. They're doing something. Bees are good pollinators. They're not just because they're designed to do so. In other words, if we had bees that are designed by God to be good pollinators, but they never left the hive, would they be accomplishing their God-given, created purpose? Isn't this a good message? Do we want God's garden that He planted on earth? Do we want God to have a nice green lawn? Guess what? If we are not doing, it's not going to be so. God's going to be on His throne, and He's going to look down. Not only will the things not be reproducing, but it gives vacancy for the adversary. Because I want you to know today that the adversary is busy. He's going about to and fro on the earth to sow his kind in his garden, that is what's growing up in our communities and in our families and in our countries. We see the kingdom of darkness running rampant over the earth. It's not because the devil is so good at what he does. It's because the bees are still in the hive. They're not going out pollinating. They're not doing what is necessary so that God's garden will fill the earth. Hallelujah. Bees are good at what they do because they spend their life doing it. I did a teaching on bees once before. It was astonishing to me because I'm a gardener. I'm out in the gardens. And it was cold one night. And a frost came over everything. And spring had already sprung. There are flowers out everywhere. Lisa and we filmed this. It was amazing. There were bees all over this flower. They happened to be bumblebees. And they were frozen in action. They were in the middle of working, and it got so cold that they just froze in action on the petals of the flower. And then we filmed it. We watched the sun come up, and the sun started warming these bees up, and they started twitching their wings and crinkling their legs and move. And then all of a sudden, they warmed up, and off they went. Just keep on doing what I'm created to do. So I'm praying that God will bring revelation to the church that we are created to be carriers. We are created and designed to work for God as long as we're on the planet. Hallelujah. And that we'll be busy about our Father's business. Altruism is the word that came to me because bees are altruistic. Right? The opposite of altruism is egoism. And humanity tends to be very egotistical. We're all about ourselves. How will this serve me? In other words, I'm not comfortable. It's too cold out. I'm going back to my hive because it's about me. It's about me being comfortable. But bees are not like that. They're out there being altruistic. They're not considering themselves. They're realizing that their life is spent for the betterment of the community. And when we realize that God has bought us with a price, we are not our own, and that we are in God's hands, and it is up to God how He spend us on this earth. Hallelujah. These are good at what they do because they spend their life doing it. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Who'd have thunk that you'd be getting preached to by a bee? All right. They're collecting the pollen, which is a source of protein that they feed to their developing offspring. And when a bee lands on a flower, the hairs all over the bee, listen to this word, attract. Attract. Have you ever heard that word? We've been talking about it. The law of attraction. The pollen is attracted to the hairs on the bee's legs. Isn't that cool? It's God's design. And I want you to know that as you and I are roaming to and fro throughout this earth, when we go through everyday life, things are being attracted to us. The body attracts pollen grains through electrostatic forces. Stiff hairs on their legs enable them to groom the pollen into specialized brushes or pockets on their legs or body, and then they carry it back to their nest. Individual bees, listen to this, this is fascinating. Individual bees tend to focus on one kind of flower at a time, which means it is more likely that pollen from one flower will be transferred to another flower of the same species. Isn't God good? He designed things to reproduce after their kind, and then He sent messengers out, worker bees, to go out there. And they're not scatterbrained. They're not just going from one to a poppy and then over to a lupin and over to a tomato plant. No. They're out there and their assignment is clover. I'm in a clover field. I'm going from clover to clover to clover to clover. Why? Because clover needs to have another clover to repopulate, to reproduce. Isn't God awesome that He knew how things needed to work? And the bees are cooperating. They're not just haphazard. They're not random. They're not just out there buzzing around. They are operating according to their design. I want you to know right now that rebellion causes us to operate outside of God's design. It will not reproduce the good things of the Garden of Eden. It will not reproduce the things of the kingdom. Rebellion causes us to be out there. It says the prince of the power of the air rules in the sons of disobedience. Rebellion equals disobedience, and disobedience equals rebellion. And whose tennis court are you playing in when you're being rebellious? The adversary has authority. It says in the scriptures that the prince of the power of the air rules in the sons of disobedience. That's just not out there in the people of the world. That's the people who are being disobedient. The bees who are saying, I really don't want to go by God's plan and pollinate the clover today. I'd rather go over and do this, or I'd rather... Egoism, egotistical behavior equals the kingdom of darkness reproducing. All right, so the bees focus on the same species. Many plants require this kind of pollen distribution known as cross-pollination in order to produce viable seeds. The business of collecting pollen requires a lot of energy. This is hard work, beloved. It's hard work. And so many flowers attract and also reward the bees with nectar. A mixture of water and sugar is produced by the plant. Aren't you glad, hallelujah, that when you're out there working, listen to what Jesus said when people went out to get food. He was talking with a woman beside the well, and they came back with food. And they go, it's like, Lord, you hungry? He's like, I have meat that you know not of. And they're like, did you give him a piece of steak? And he's like, to do my Father's work and to finish it is sustenance to me. It feeds me. When these bees are out there doing what they're created to do, God supplies their needs. When he sent them from town to town, he said, don't bring your purse. Don't worry about it. Peter, go cast in a line, pull out a fish. The first fish that you catch, there's enough money in his mouth to pay your taxes and mine. When we are serving God, hallelujah, he will provide. The flowers bring out nectar for the worker bees, the ones that are out there living their life for God, to do what they're created to do. All right, this is a great message. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now it brings us to the inner man and outer man. Remember, things reproduce after their kind. I want you to picture your outer man. Remember, the bees have electrostatic charge that attracts pollen. I want you to imagine that your outer man has an electronic static charge that is drawing and attracting what? Things after its kind. Flesh reproduces flesh. When we are fleshly dominated people and we're walking to and fro throughout our busy day, our outer man is electric static charge is drawing in other things of the flesh. You're going to walk through your day when you're an outer man dominated person, and things of the world are just going to be drawn to you and cling on to you. You ever get one of those little static things that's really super annoying? You're trying to brush it off and it's stuck to your finger, and then you wipe it on your pants. It's stuck to your pants. You're trying to flip it off and kick it off and you can't get rid of it because there's an electrostatic charge. And when our outer man is dominating, it's drawing things. And you might have something that's clinging to you and you don't understand why. You can't shake it off. You can't get rid of it. It's because we're being outer man dominated. It's charged. It's clinging. Well, glory to God that he's given us a dryer sheet. He's given us something, something to solve the problem. I don't know how to word it. Anti-static. Thank you. The inner man now, glory to God, attracts spiritual things of the kingdom. Not only does the inner man pick up stuff, this is really what I want us to get, that we're going through our day, and are you looking for something to carry? Are you looking for something to carry? Or are we going to go about our day completely ignorant and just with an egotistical mindset that we're just focused on what we want to do today and be conformed to this world's image, be another cog in the wheel? Or are we going to understand our created purpose and understand the gifts and understand the design and understand who we are and to realize that God is designed us to carry something of value, to serve a purpose? The inner man attracts something from the kingdom. And not only does it do that, but it repels the things of the world so you don't accidentally carry them to someone else. So that's the anti-static dryer sheet. The Holy Ghost is in you. When you're an inner man dominated person, you're attracting things of the kingdom. They'll just cling to you. Something that Mike said this morning, it will cling to me. Something that Pat prays will cling to me. Something that Judy reads will cling to me. Something that Dion sings will cling to me. And I've become a carrier of something valuable. Not only does it bring sustenance to me like the nectar of a flower providing for my needs, but I'm bringing it to someone else. I'm now realizing that Mike said something, and I'm going, Father, who needs this other than myself today? I'm going to be at the post office. I'm going to bring some pollen to the person at the post office today. And you're looking for it. You're sensitive. You're saying, oh, that thing that Judy read this morning. So many of us are just egotistic that, oh, that really doesn't, I don't care about what Judy read this morning. That's not a big deal. Or the book that we're reading or whatever it is, it's not such a big deal. The testimony, doesn't really touch my heart. It's all about us. It's not feeding me. I don't like that flavor of nectar. But we're beginning to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit that I don't care if it feeds me. I don't care if I like that flavor. I'm going to carry that. I'm going to treasure it. I'm going to realize that it's valuable because God's given it. And now I'm going to go about like a worker bee, seeing who needs to be cross-pollinated by this. Hallelujah. What do you want to carry? Do you want to carry the things of the world, or do you want to carry the things of the kingdom? Jesus is our example. Jesus is our perfect example in how he carried things from heaven and brought them to earth. I'm going to give you two examples, but then I'm going to leave it to you to do a study in the Bible on your own. He carried things of the kingdom of God to earth, and we are the beneficiaries. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that neat? Can you see Jesus coming from heaven as a bee with these big pollen sacks on his back legs? And then he gets here, and he's standing there with us. It's like, look at this. And he's reaching into his pollen sack, and he's going, I've got this for you. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, Jesus, God said, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So now I'm going to challenge you. Read the Bible and look at all the things that Jesus carried from heaven and came to earth and cross-pollinated the earth with. What is it? What did Jesus share with you and with me? Number one, have you been a good receiver, or has your outer man been so filled up with the things of this world? Can you see it? Just get a picture of yourself. A picture of someone with this outer man dominated, and it has an electrostatic charge that everything from the world is clinging to the outer man. There's no place for the things of God. The inner man can't barely get out there and draw one little thing from heaven and hope something from the kingdom of heaven will cling to me, will find a spot somewhere. That's why I like these times when we come together and we worship and we pray, and it just gives us a chance to get rid of the bad stuff. It's like redo our charge. Like one charge is drawing the things of God and the other charge is drawing things. We reverse the polarity, right? Reverse the polarity. All the things of the world just fall off onto the floor. Hallelujah. And we recommit to be charged for the kingdom and draw the things of the kingdom. And hopefully through the week we can keep that up. Peter then gave an example of how he listened to Jesus and follow Jesus' example. It's Peter 2:14. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Peter then gave a message, and 2,000 or 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. He became a carrier. He had a revelation. He brought something from the kingdom and gave an example and gave it to the people who were all in his hearing. You know, people, do you know that your speaking to someone is cross-pollinating them? Your words are cross-pollinating them. Peter received from Jesus and spoke Jesus' words, and he cross-pollinated all the people that were around him. He brought the kingdom through his words. Amen? How can you carry? What are you carrying? How can you carry the kingdom? That's why we're looking at our gifts and talents. Not everyone has a speaking gift. Now, I want to challenge you with this. If you don't have a speaking gift, trust God. Look at Moses. "Oh, God, I don't really have a speaking gift. I can't do this. Would you send Aaron to be my mouthpiece and this and that?" Moses still spoke, and Moses still had power, and his God still demonstrated his power through Moses, whether Moses was an eloquent speaker or not. Be available to God. Be available to God. Amen? Now I'm going to see how this whole responsibility of becoming a carrier. Jesus was the first one responsible to be a carrier. He carried the kingdom of heaven to earth. And then he passed it on to his apostles. He said, he breathed on them. He said, "You go. This is about you. You're going to go." And so Peter became a follower of Jesus and a carrier of the things of the kingdom. And he began to distribute the things of the kingdom. And it gets passed on to you and to me. Oh, so here it is, Jesus breathing on the apostles. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then Mark 16:15, he said to them, which is translated to us as well, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But he didn't leave us without something to carry. Looking in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, and both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth." So this whole responsibility flows through Jesus, who was our example, the apostles, and it's come to us, hasn't it? We are now the ones who are responsible for carrying. So here's a few things. It's like a little questionnaire. Are you aware and intentional? Number one, are you aware that as you come and go every day that you're carrying something? Did you know that? Did you know that when you're going to the grocery store, that if something of this world is clinging to you, that you rub up against somebody, that thing can rub up on them? Did you realize that? You can carry something negative that's clinging to you, and it can brush up off of somebody, and then somebody else has that thing clinging on them. Super important that we become aware. Do you consciously discern what you're carrying? Are you saying, somebody says something in a conversation and you're like, "No. Oh no, not buying into that. I am not having anything to do with that." When Pat says something, are you saying, "I'm going to take that"? Reach out and you grab what Pat says and you put it in your pouch. So I'm carrying that one. Are you intentional about what you're carrying? Do you look for kingdom stuff and carry it, waiting for God to give you a chance to deposit it somewhere else? I basically just said that. But then the second part of it, are you looking to give it out? In other words, if we're just going through life and all this stuff is out in the air, we talked about stations earlier, there's a lot of noise, a lot of voices. Are we consciously saying, there's something of value out there, and I need to grab a hold of it, not just for my own sustenance, but for the benefit of someone else? I'm now going to look for it. I know I'm going to have an encounter this afternoon, and I'm looking for something to bring with me there. How about when we get together to fellowship, to worship? It lends a whole other light on sharing a testimony or bringing something. It's not just so we can show how much we know. No, there are things out there that we need to carry because it's for the edification of the church. It's for the benefit of the body of Christ. I'm carrying something with me when I come to worship today. Isn't that good? I'm carrying the things of the kingdom. I'm going to pray before I come to worship because I want to have a word. I want to have a word that has come from my Heavenly Father's heart. And I'm going to look for an opportunity to share that word because I want somebody to be blessed today. I want someone who comes to worship today who might be suffering or might have a hurt leg or have be oppressed or depressed. I want them to have a word that will set them free. I want to have the word that will bring healing to them. I want to share the word that's going to bring deliverance and life and encouragement. I'm a carrier of something. Do you value what you're carrying and count it as a treasure? Do you value what you're carrying? Count it as a treasure. Think of what people do for treasure. They kill one another for it. They steal. They lie. They cheat. Because they value this treasure so much, they'll do whatever it takes. They'll compromise their beliefs. They'll compromise their morals. Because they so gotta have that treasure. In the scriptures, Jesus talked about the kingdom. And he compared it as a pearl of great price. I just spoke of the negative things that people do. Jesus is the example of a positive thing. Jesus gave his life because he so valued something. He so treasured something. You know what he treasured? He treasured you. He treasured me so much that he paid a great price. Are you aware that you are a worker in God's garden? Do you get up every morning and realize that you're on the earth to serve God? It's not about your boss. It's not about your spouse. It's not about anything else first. You're first here. You've been bought and paid for by God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been bought by God at a price. You're His. And you're just waiting. How many go to work and you say, okay, what do you want me to do today, boss? Do you wake up in the morning and say, what would you like me to do for you today, Lord? That's the part of not calling him only Savior, but Lord. Realizing that he has authority and he has a plan. God is doing something. God has a plan. And so do we want to be a part of that? Or are we going to be egotistical and serve ourselves and be part of the world and do our own business? And all right. Do you have a good work ethic? The bees, think of the bee. They spend their life doing this pollination thing. Are you willing to spend your life, all the days of your life, surrendered to God and say, Lord, whatever you want from me today. Send me wherever you want. I will do whatever you want. Do you have a good work ethic? Are you aware that there are people all over the world who need what you can offer them if you carry the right thing? Big if. If you're carrying the right thing. Once we get the right thing, then it's all about there's a great need out there. All right, and finally, do you look to expand the kingdom of God through cross-pollination? Aware is a big word today, isn't it? Look to the bee. Are you aware and intentional? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for the revelation. I thank you for showing us the be. That all of us will be without excuse, hallelujah, as we stand before you, having seen the be. Having looked to the be and being taught by the be in its life. Hallelujah. That we might be inspired today by the be. Help us to be like the be. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this teaching, Father. And I thank you that you haven't left us as orphans, Jesus, but you've sent us your Spirit to enable us, hallelujah, to be like the bee. I thank you for revelation of the tremendous responsibility of being in your kingdom and to be your child, to be your son and daughter. I pray that we would even now, in the hearing of this message, feel the weight of responsibility of being your son and your daughter. What an inheritance. And help us to live as our big brother Jesus has lived, surrendered to his Father and his Father's will. And I thank you also for Jesus' example that he has joy and he has peace. Hallelujah. And he has counted it worthy and worth it to lay down his life for the plan of God, to surrender his life. Help us to do the same. And when we share the symbols of the body and blood of Jesus, that you again reinforce, Lord, that we are taking in the nature of Jesus. Hallelujah. The bread of life, we'd be ingesting the bread of life and taking on the nature till Christ be formed in us, and drinking the symbol of the blood and the fruit of the vine, that we would be drinking in Jesus' life. Hallelujah. That we would be like Jesus and live like Jesus for God's glory. Amen.